At the Basra Sheraton, they have given me the honeymoon suite. The view would be romantic if it weren't for the statues of dead Iraqi pilots pointing accusingly across the bay at Iran, their huge bronze arms stretching south. In this port, where the fabled Sindbad fled from sea monsters, rusting hulks of freighters and warships, raw sewage and toxic waste have killed most of the fish. Once the wealthiest city in Iraq, where Gulf sheikhs party the night away, Basra is now a ruined jewel. Visitors to Basra are now met by Gulf War wreckage and miles of muddy, sewage-strewn streets. Pediatric cancers and birth defects have risen at alarming rates since the Gulf War, when hundreds of tons of depleted uranium were dropped on the city. But no one knows for sure what is causing the health crisis, since the scientific equipment needed for radiation testing is blocked by the embargo. It is considered dual use, something that could have a military purpose. But records have been kept by local hospital staff, including photos of monster babies born with two heads or missing limbs and vital organs. And the World Health Organization is studying the situation. A doctor I meet tells me, "You know, after the Gulf War, I remember we had 3 days of black rain. The sky was dark, and you could barely see in front of you." There is silence for a moment. The doctor breaks it by saying, "We used to be called here in Basra the Venice of Iraq. We were known for our lovely canals and palm trees." He smiles and says, "But after the Gulf War, most of the palm trees died." In the working-class neighborhood of Jamhuriya, in the home of a woman named Iqbal Fartous, I'm given tea in a concrete-floored room, bare but for a single red rug and a picture of Imam Ali. Fartous lost her 5-year-old son, Haider, in 1999, when a bomb killed 17 people here. She is an elementary school teacher and tells me that when the air raid sirens interrupt her kindergarten class, she has them sing the Arabic alphabet song to drown out the noise. In Kahara, Basra's old money neighborhood, many former inhabitants have either emigrated or slipped quietly into poverty. Now men wearing white Islamic-style caps ride bicycles past open sewers and sprawling villas. At the central market, a huge portrait of the president presides over a sign screaming, "Basra Shopping Center." The market is a square kilometer or so of shops selling everything from food to football uniforms, bisected by a filthy canal. Traders sell spices in an age-old tradition, as the occasional smuggler cruises through the ruined streets in a shiny new Mercedes. This area was once middle class, before that class disappeared in the early 90s. Meanwhile, rural refugees from Iraq's southern border areas, on the front lines of the Gulf War, have moved into the old 18th century part of the city, now one of Basra's poorest areas. Almost everywhere the smell of sea air mixes with the stench of raw sewage and smoke from generators. Here I meet with a group of children who show me the old city's museum, closed, they say, for as long as they can remember. The children look about 6 or 7, but they tell me that they are in their early teens. They say that their unemployed fathers used to work for the Ministry of Petroleum. They shyly ask for pens, so they can write me in Canada. Then they sing me a song just before the call to prayer. They say it is a song sung at celebrations.